Welcome to the show. Here's how it's gonna go. We're gonna go through some new music for you. It's Artist on Record. Today's episode, Safe Place to Hide. This is Artist on Record. I'm back! And not alone this time, because the last episode sucked. Anyway, so now I have
that was fun to listen to, though.
Yeah, in some ways. Now I have a new co-host, Eliana.
Hello! I've never done a podcast before, so this should be fun.
Yes. I figured you'd be a good person to do, because we're good friends, and you're very musical as well.
Yep.
So.
I've written some music, I do guitar, if it counts, I dance, but...
That accounts for rhythm.
Yep, that's fair.
Yep. So, today, we are going to be going over... Safe Place to Hide by Jonah Folsom.
Yep.
Yeah.
Note that we are not really critiquing anything, because we both love this album to death.
Yeah, I'm not gonna pretend that this is, like, a legitimate review. It's more of an analysis than anything.
Yeah.
And
going over some different interpretations of songs, which would be pretty fun. At least according to our notes.
The notes say it's going to be fun, but our brains say it's going to be also fun. But
it's the same thing.
The brain are the notes. Got it.
Okay, not like that! And they equate to the same thing, at least according to what you've said before.
Yes. Also, quick note before we get into it, this is not going to be like the other podcast that I run that's, like, edited and stuff. I'm going to edit a little, but it's not going to be very much.
It's more gonna just be all of us talking.
Yeah, that's really what it's gonna be. It's gonna be just you listening in on our conversations like a creep.
Yep.
So,
go ahead.
Maybe
you're the main host of this thing.
Yeah, but you're the co-host now. Did you have anything you wanted to say before we get into the album?
No, not that I can think of.
All right. How do we start that?
So, why don't you start with what the album's about?
About...
Actually, wait. Did we say the name of the album and who it's by? I don't
know. Yeah, I said that at the very beginning.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Safe Place to Hide is... just... an overall, like, journey of processing. My brain. Hang on, let me think.
It's okay.
Okay. So it's a whole album that's going through, like, a journey of starting out with understanding that who God is. A little bit, like, ultimately knowing that he is our safe place to hide. I can't think of anything else.
You could just read your notes just straight up, because it seemed you summed it up pretty well.
Okay. It's going through a process of knowing who God is, then going through a testing process that ultimately draws you closer to him. With
naming and lyrical themes that are emphasized in it throughout the whole thing. Like, it's kind of like how in movies a score will have themes that they'll go back to, like motifs and phrasings, kind of, but scores don't normally have words.
Sometimes in movies you have word motifs. I think best example I can think of, or at least the most noticeable, was in a movie I watched very recently called Casablanca. Mm-hmm. And in that movie, the two things that are always said through that, like, movie is, here's looking at you, kid, and this is the start of a beautiful friendship, which is kind of like just two different themes that kind of go on through that movie. So it can be with lines. It can be with lines where they will say stuff that call back to something earlier, or just say it as a motif through the movie.
Yeah, that's more the, like, the movie. That's more the script part, though, like the score.
Yeah.
It's not, it ties in, but it, yeah. So it does that really well. And I know for me, I use the album as kind of like a way to process some of the heavier things going on in my life a lot of the time. And to help me to bring my mind back to trusting God.
I agree. Yeah. And there are even, like, when I actually recently, like, compiled a playlist of emotionally healing music. This was basically at the top of my list.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because, I will say one thing that this album does that you didn't really mention yet is, it is a journey, but it is a very honest journey.
Right.
Which I really, really appreciate, and I'm sure we're going to get into more when we talk about the music.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, and I think on that note, I think we should just jump into the music.
Yeah, let's just jump into it without jumping physically.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could.
You could, but that probably wouldn't be the best idea for a podcast. No one will see.
Yep. All right. Our first song is Traffic.
Mm-hmm. It is mainly just like an instrumental that starts off with the main musical motif that transitions.
Wait, it does?
Into, yeah, it has the da 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 thing with the recorder ?
I don't know what that is, but it does sound really cool.
But yeah, it starts out with that. Well, it has that after it, the amply named. It starts out with a bunch of sounds of people around you, kind of like a chaotic thing.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like a cityscape in a way.
Yeah, or a marketplace.
Yeah, well, I say cityscape because there is a part where you hear like a radio static, and a guy, the main guy who would end up singing this, you'll hear this later in one of the songs saying, you know, I thought everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then it erupts into more chaos with louder music.
Right.
Yeah, I would say one thing that, like, is really cool with this, aside from this really sounding like a interesting way to open up a album, is also, and I've done this before, it does make the next song after sound a lot more calm.
Yeah.
Because it already is a calm song, but having this context is, it makes it, I guess, feel more calm, if that makes any sense. Which also emphasizes an important point, listen to the album in order. Don't skip around, don't do anything. Listen to the whole way through. After, you have permission to go ahead and skip to the songs, because it's, in a way, this is kind of like a movie. Because it's a story, you know, a very highly interpreted story, but it's still a story.
Indeed.
Yeah. I think that's all we have to say about that one.
So yeah, that would take us to the album track name, Safe Place to Hide.
Which is also one of the best songs.
Yeah.
And I think this is the only song that I feel like God is directly speaking to the character. Like, it's not really much of a conversation, it's more of a it's more God speaking.
Right.
You know, there is a response, you know, I know you'll never let me down, I know you'll never leave me. When life's a blur of worry, you will lead me home to safety.
Yeah. So, yeah, there is that response, but you're right, it's for the mostly, most part, it is mostly just God speaking.
With scripture, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Be still my child and know that I'm God.
Right.
I will say, this description of God is really nice. I just like the way that he I know we're not, I'm not saying, in my experience, this is mostly how God talks, so I do appreciate it. I do appreciate this song for that.
It shows that specific aspect of how God talks really well. Like, there are certainly other aspects you could explore with God talking to people, but this is a really good representation of
safety, I think.
Yeah, the safety and peace.
I'd even emphasize through the instrumentals that are so good, but yet make it so hard to play on the guitar and do justice.
Yeah.
I should know, I tried.
Yep.
And also, one thing that is important with this song specifically, later, a lot of those riffs that you hear, like all those musical bits, it goes throughout the album. Or, well, yep. I don't know if it goes throughout. Does it go throughout the album? Because I only really hear it in Just Fine and Onward.
Yeah, it's mostly in that, but the lyrics probably are the main, like, they don't call back to the same lyrics from that song until later, but the spirit of the lyrics is throughout the song.
Because that's the main theme of this is, you know, going to God because he is your safe place to hide. Among other themes, but...
Yeah.
Alright. I think that's all we can really say about that song, except, you know, obviously, go check it out. Go check out this entire album once you're done with this podcast. Or do it before, so that you have context for what on earth we're even talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, either way works, or, I mean, some people like listening to rambles without context.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Alright. Next song we have is Nice to Meet You. Also known as the song that we have two different interpretations of. And now I'm curious, how did you get to the idea, because your interpretation, from what I'm seeing in your notes, is, because we can both see ours, is that it's about a guy liking a girl.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've gathered from it.
Huh. From what, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, talking about holding their hand, for one thing. And also, I think it's the second verse.
I'm walking out on water. I'm locking eyes with you. That.
Yeah. Let's keep this conversation. Show me green and all this blue. To me, that kind of, it seems to tell of something of meeting someone he's interested in.
Because that wasn't my interpretation when I first heard this song. So,
what's yours?
Mine is, he's talking about God, meeting God for the first time. Because Safe Place to Hide is God talking to him. To me, it only makes sense that the next song would be about, you know, essentially, like, meeting God again. As for the second verse, I took that as a callback to one of the stories of Jesus, where he's walking out on water with Peter,
mm-hmm.
where he commands them to come across the water. I can say words. And as long as Peter was looking at Jesus, he was able to keep walking. It's only when he didn't look down, that's only when he looked down and had doubt that he started to drown. So that was my interpretation. Especially because holding God's hand does seem to come back later in the album, especially in Father and Son.
Yeah, it does. I'm not sure. Because it also talks about shaking their hand in the first one.
Well, I mean,
that doesn't seem like a God parallel to me, but I don't know.
Kinda? Maybe?
This is like the classic Christian problem. Is it talking about God or a girl?
You know, I keep hearing this, like, and typically my rule is, if it's written by a Christian, it's probably about, and or a Christian artist, is probably about God.
Oh, it's my general rule, too. I haven't come across too many that was confusing for me, but I think this is the first one where I'm just, like, not sure.
I mean, I guess it depends, because, like, when I thought about this one, I guess this does come a little bit against my argument, is that it would be addressing God as if he's a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So, rather than a father that it would show later. But, right. I don't really know. I do know that this one, regardless of any of that, this song is just really fun. I think of the playful-ish songs, this one is probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Because it's fun. And the guitar, like, things are just really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really fun.
Yep. Alright. I think that's all we need to say.
Yep. Probably.
Next song is, Are We Gonna Make It?
Are we just skipping pages?
Oh! See, okay, pages, this is a testament to how much, like, this one of the transition songs, probably my least favorite, because I keep forgetting
this one.
Really? No, well, least favorite, only because I just keep forgetting it's there.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't say I didn't like it. I like the, interesting, like, instrumental stuff that they did, especially, like, at, like, the second half. Where they had those, like, little jingle belt things. I don't know. I don't know what
belly
the
things.
I did not mean for that to come out like that. Anyway. Yeah, no. But, and also the car alarm thing at the end. Not like I have any idea what that means. I don't know, do you have any extra thoughts?
It is interesting, from Nice to Meet You, they actually do kind of make reference to, I think it's kind of supposed to be in reference to this instrumental that came up, I'm tired of turning pages, one wrong movement it might tear, do I know what the car thing is? Not really. I think it's cool.
Yep. Well, actually, well, now that you said the last part, now I think I know what it was.
What?
Well, you mentioned, I'm tired of turning pages, one wrong move and it might tear. Maybe that wrong move is what that car alarm is referencing to.
Hmm, maybe.
Like, this is when the tear comes, because the next song is Are We Gonna Make It? So clearly something is going wrong. Or not according to plan.
Maybe.
I don't know.
That's interesting.
Yep.
And speaking of Are We Gonna Make It, let's do that now.
Moving right along.
Footloose and fancy free. Anyway.
It actually was the thing I was referencing. Anyway.
Good.
You go first this time. I'm not trying to take over the podcast.
You're not taking it over. You're co-hosting.
Yeah, but shouldn't co-hosts go second?
You're
Is that
you're
like
equal.
An underdisclosed? Okay.
But we can take turns. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Are We Gonna Make It is kind of stress put into a song. Yep. That's really what it is. And with the instrumental and all the things they're talking about, it's the stress of
being, everything.
Of everything, but also like having new responsibilities in life.
Yeah, especially it's about a young I'm not gonna say college student, but it is clearly the guy is younger.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would guess like early 20s ish. Mm-hmm. I do know that one time I actually tried to sing this song while I was like doing dishes in our RV, and my mom literally told me to stop because she was getting depressed.
Huh, interesting. So, I don't find it depressing.
Huh?
I've never found this song depressing.
I don't know. I mean, then again, like, without the ending, it kind of could be considered, because it's stress in a song. That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
So, and I never got to the end. Something I observed with this one, at least with its instrumental, it feels like a Spanish-y vibe with the guitar. I could be wrong, but it kind of sounds like it.
Maybe, sort of.
With the rock guitar, just with the like beginning, like da 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 dum, da 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 dum.
Yeah, it's kind of got that type of feeling. Also, just a general folk feeling to me. Because like it, just in general, having more guitarists probably just adds a folk feeling for me. Particularly the ones he uses. Yeah, I can see the Spanish thing.
Yep. And this is also the first time where we have... I mentioned that it's very honest. This is the first time that we have a whole bunch of... a whole bunch of honesty, because it's not really shying away. Like, hey, life is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Life is hard. And that's something that, you know, I feel like sometimes Christian music can kind of gloss over, or they'll just say, God will take care of it, we just have to trust him, and it's just kind of like, okay, yes, but also...
It depends on the song and what the purpose is of the song, because sometimes it is good to honestly just focus on God rather than... that, but it's also good to have the honest music too.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I like about Safe Place to Hide. It keeps redirecting it to God, but it doesn't like water down. Hey, the situation can get bad.
Yeah, it acknowledges what's going on and then looks to God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, during the chorus, this is important that I'll mention later. He says it's a jungle out here.
I read your notes.
What?
And this is something I didn't realize until I read your notes.
Yeah, this is something I noticed after like 10th time listening through. So, but yeah, he refers to what's going on, the world that he's going into as a jungle, and that's important. I'll bring it back up again later.
I mean, it's also accurate.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a jungle out here, and it's every man for himself.
Yep. I think that's all we have to say.
Yeah. So the next one is my favorite song, I think. It's definitely the most impactful, I think.
This is also the first one I heard.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't actually know he was producing music until this album, because I was introduced because Joshua and another friend of ours, Aiden, basically peer pressured me to listen to it. And by peer pressured, I mean they kept excessively recommending it.
Excessively. I recommended it like 3 times.
Okay, that's still, it was in a way that said to listen to it. And then I just excessively recommended it to everybody.
I know, right? How the tables have turned.
Yes, indeed. So wait and see. Can I take over this one?
Yeah. I did the other one.
Cool. So wait and see is the song that's about, essentially, you are waiting for something to happen, or at least that's my interpretation, is you're waiting for something to happen, whether it's a project, whether it's life, whether it's whatever. Interesting story with this one. I first turned on this album, I was leaving Tennessee to drive to some state really far away. And I only, to Arkansas, that's right. And I only know that because we were dry, we had like, I had to be up early, we had to go to some like party thing for the afternoon, and then we had to drive on till late evening. So, I was exhausted, and I was like, well, I have this album, I may as well, you know, give it a listen. And at first, with like the first couple of songs, like I was listening, but it was a little more passively.
Mm-hmm.
And then this song came on, and the lyric that really hit close to home for me was, "It's a humbling thing to be up all night thinking, what if it doesn't show?" Mm-hmm. And I remember it kind of like struck my attention. And I literally went back, rewinded the other songs to make sure I had all the context. And then it's basically become my favorite song since.
Mm.
Because I really, and I listened to this while I was dealing with a lot of waiting. At the time, I wasn't sure where my life was going. I had finished high school, and we were still, my family travels for, we've been traveling for maybe 2 years straight, I think. Mm-hmm. Might have been more. So I was kind of getting tired, and I didn't know where my life was really going and what to do during this waiting period. Especially because it felt like even like projects I also write were kind of getting stalemated, and I just didn't know what to do about it. And so I listened to the song, and I really, really love it. I love the instrumental. I love the girl voice that comes in about halfway through. The lyrics, especially in the bridge, are very hard-hitting. Especially for me, it was, "Why can't growing be mine to control?" Because that is a question I'm sure a lot of people can get through their heads.
Oh, yeah. People, we like to control things. It's hard when we can't.
Especially because, like, the metaphor of using a plant, I will say, like, that is a really good metaphor. Because It also, like, shows, like, why do you, like, it feels like you want to give up because it's just not showing it. You're just asking, like, just give me a little sign that it's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I just really love this song. If it's one thing I don't know if I quite understand, it's at the end, maybe this thing is a ghost, waking up when I lose the thing I love most. Which, singing that out loud, it feels like maybe that's referencing Control. But
maybe
that could be. That's just a guess. Your turn.
Yeah, in terms of this song, I know I relate to it, because in a very different way, the most literal way, probably, the same thing you were talking about, humbling thing to be up all night thinking, well, if it doesn't show, whenever I first heard the song, I was, like, in a lot of insomnia, just in general, yeah. Kind of felt stuck in it, too, so hearing this was very relatable for me, because I've felt stuck a lot for the last 3 or 4 years. So I can very much relate to not feeling like I see signs of growth.
Improvement, yeah.
Yeah. And just in general, I know, like I said, this is the first one I heard, and it's what really made me interested in listening to the whole album, because it's very catchy.
Yes. Very catchy, and the only song, as of now, that I've been able to play somewhat okay on a guitar.
Ooh. Cool.
Yes. I think that's all we need to say about this one?
Probably. So, next one is, like, A Ton of Cement Dropped on the Heart.
Mm-hmm.
If Are We Gonna Make It is stress in a song, this is just pain.
This is your life falling apart.
Yeah, it's your life falling apart, and it's pain embodied in the song.
Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, unexpected pain.
Yeah. Yeah, because it has the,
you know,
the phone call thing.
You've seen it in headlines, but not this close to home.
Right. I think...
Although, now it makes me wonder what that's talking about.
I think I know what it might be talking about, but I don't want to spread... This isn't a term I'd use normally, but misinformation about Jonah Folsom. Because I think I know something about what this is talking about, but I'm not fully sure if what I'm thinking is accurate. So I'm not going to say. But
yep, and then I'll grill you about it after the podcast. Anyway.
help.
Not literally. Just to be clear. We don't need to do that.
Yeah, I'll just say it afterward, because that's how I am. Anyway, but yeah, it's also in the midst of it, just like, you are looking to God, but you're pretty hopeless. You're just...
Okay.
I know.
I thought we were going to disagree about this one.
I looked back on the song and realized why I thought before it was hopeful. But first, I'm going to explain what the song's talking about, then we'll get into that.
Cool.
It you're crying out to God that you won't fall apart, though I'm pretty sure that the next song it makes you realize you've fallen apart anyway. But so that's the whole thing of that song. And so before, I had told Eliana that I thought the song was hopeful, but I realized why I was saying that. The song itself, while relatable, it's not really that hopeful.
Not at all.
But I was going through the mindset of, okay, this album is leading with hope, and it's going to hope with the rest of the songs. So my brain just kind of was like, oh yeah, that song's hopeful. Then I listened to it again, and it's like, no, the album itself just goes that way. So my brain just, like, misinterpreted.
Yeah. Ironically, this is part of the reason we made this podcast specifically, because I thought we were going to have to debate this one. Yeah, because, again, like, I think this is really the only song, though, interestingly enough, that really ends with a note that isn't hopeful.
Yeah.
Which is why I think you kind of need to hear the sister song next to it in order to really get that message of hope.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty good. This one, like, as Joshua said, this one is definitely rougher than Are You Gonna Make It? Like, that one is... Again, if you thought that one was rough, this one is crazier with a lot... Like, really? You can the amount of, like, how intense the song is equal to how much electric guitar is in there.
Yeah,
that's basically the general rule.
And I think the cool usage with electric guitars in songs like that, they add an element of making you feel like the person that the journey or what's being currently experienced is so very fragile because of, like, the electric guitar. That's the word that comes to my mind, at least. I don't know. Yeah, that I don't know how else to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah. Okay. I think... Then should we mention the sister song next to it? I think this one is one that we both really enjoy.
Oh yeah, Mess.
Mm-hmm. I think anyone who has listened to this album, at least everyone I've shown it to, has said that this song is a favorite.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I've liked it more and more as I've listened to it.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Very, very beautiful instrumentals, and very calm compared to the last song, which I think works very well.
Yeah. You gonna explain what it's doing?
Okay, sorry. Right, it's my turn. anyway, so... Mess is... The last song gave you the context your life has fallen apart. And Mess is you dealing with the, like, mixed up puzzle pieces of your life that has now been, again, completely, utterly destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
I also think this is one of these songs that has, that would be a different song, but this one has some really pretty biblical imagery and metaphorical imagery, and basically I love metaphorical imagery and imagery in general in songs, which is I think why I'm a huge fan of Owl City. But this one has a lot of like biblical imagery that at least is very memorable to me, and I think my favorite example is my Tower of Babel I built with my hands. I found out the hard way. I built it on sand.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that.
It's a good combination of two biblical,
yeah,
things. Being mm-hmm. the Tower of Babel, obviously. And
the wise man built his house upon the rock.
The wise man built his house upon the rock. Yeah. And the parable of the wise man and the foolish man.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's... But unlike the last song, it does have, like, the last 30-40 seconds of it goes into the, it kind of flips the switch and starts for what is going to be a part of the next song by just, it's when God speaks in the album again.
What is?
You whispered softly, just lie here and rest.
Oh. Okay, that.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. then he is just, after that, is just asking God to have his way with what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Have your way, Lord, in all of this mess, in all of this stress, have your way.
You know, I think our friends are really going to enjoy listening to this because we can actually hear your singing clearly.
For once, I know.
I know I'm enjoying it. So.
Yep. I think, yeah, this is another one. For anyone who wants to play this one on the guitar, I'm just going to give you the heads up that this one's actually easy. So, I think this is, yeah, this is one of two songs that I think it's pretty easy to play on the guitar because the riffs aren't that complicated, slash they aren't completely necessary in order to make this sound good.
Mm.
Or at least, well, like, in a, if you want to sing this with your friends kind of way.
Yeah, like, you yeah. can live without it, even though it's really good in the
exactly. song. That's what I mean.
Yeah. So, the next one is Tears of Surrender. This and the one after that are my two probably favorite songs if I had to pick.
That makes sense.
Because there are examples of what I want to be. And this is just talking completely about recognizing that you were trying to do things your own way and realizing that you need to trust God and...
But I'm lost on my own. Take my hand, will you, Father?
Exactly. And in the second verse, the one, it's talking about even just, in a way, giving him his possessions, even though they were his all along. I'm just quoting the song at this point, but I like that because it reminds me of something that my church has talked about before. I'm not going to use the word that I put in my notes because I looked it up and it won't make sense to people. But it's putting the people and things in your life in their place, which is in God's hand and like not holding on to them too tightly. And in general, I really like the song's message of just
letting go.
Yeah. Letting go and looking to God.
Yep. I will say I actually appreciated this song more when I, today, while I was, you know, writing my notes last minute, despite the fact that we talked about the pot doing this, like, what, a week ago? That's how I roll. Anyway, I decided to...
my notes this morning, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually sat down to listen to this one again, because I was trying to think of what exactly I could say, and I will say... I appreciated it a lot more when I listened to it again. I mean, I already did, but it's just, it's so pretty, and it's really calm, and I really enjoy what they did, because they did have, like, they do have some instrumental buildup, which is really nice, and it's just, it's so pretty. That's really all I can say about this song. It's really pretty, it's well done. It's very accurate. And I like that this one, like, really smoothly transitions into the next one. Yeah, which is like, not something we've totally seen throughout this album except for Traffic and Safe Place to Hide and Nice to Meet You and Pages.
Oh, plus in Father and Son and Ty.
But that we didn't get to that yet.
I know. I know. But, yeah, literally, I've put... I just put all these together in one file, and, like, she is right that Tears of Surrender and Stones, like, fit together so seamlessly.
Yeah.
But...
Also, the ambience is really nice in it.
Yes, like, I love have the this... build-up.
Yes. Well, it's not even build-up, it's just, like, there is this, like, ambience instrument going through. I don't know what that is! It's some kind of ambient instrument, and I don't know what it is.
Might be... It almost sounds like an organ, to be honest, but...
If that's what it is, they did. They used that really well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll go on to the next one. I'll let you take the lead on this one, despite this also being one of my favorite songs. This is your favorite, so go ahead, take the lead.
Stones is it's going into this place of like after Tears of Surrender. Yes, it's amazing. but it goes into this place of talking about different ways God has us do things. Like it uses the terms deliverance and obedience. Deliverance being when kind of you're doing less active things per se, but God is working through it. And obedience is sometimes doing things in faith that seem like more, but it's still God working through you. And then the chorus, it uses, I mean, the whole song actually uses a bit of like biblical, metaphors, but the chorus does, the cloud stops, I lay low, the fire moves, I follow. Referring, of course, to the pillar of cloud and fire that the Israelites followed in the wilderness to lead them to the promised land.
Yeah, so this is actually, I think, this is, of all the songs on the album, this is, I think, the one that has the most biblical imagery. It's either between this one or Mess.
Yeah. Because this one also mentions Jericho in the second verse. Sometimes deliverance is pacing around a wall, a silent daily crawl.
Praying it'll fall, but sometimes obedience is going out to war.
Tearing down the doors, the battle is towards.
The cloud stops. Anyway, we better stop singing this before we go through the entire song. Anyway.
Well, we could easily, but.
Indeed.
Anyway, yeah.
Okay, I actually have some more notes. Unless, okay. If you're done, you can keep going.
I got a good amount out. You can go.
Okay. So Joshua mentioned the comparison of, you know, obedience and deliverance. There is, I actually see another comparison that's in the, is it the chorus? I don't know. Keep my eyes wide, listen now. Am I to go or wait it out? There's a still small voice saying, stand still or get moving. So you have this comparison as well, where sometimes deliverance is standing still. It's waiting to be delivered from different things. It's letting God deliver you. Obedience is going out, as Joshua said, in faith. But those two things are connected to standing still and getting moving. And for me personally, like, it was actually an interesting revelation, because I never thought about the fact that there's really only two answers that God has about what you should do in your life. You're either standing still or you're moving. And it's, I love it.
Yes.
And.
Yeah.
Ooh, no. And also the metaphor of stones. That's also really good.
I didn't understand that metaphor.
Really? Okay, so, for me at least, I look at stones as being You're marking your way home with Ebenezer Stone. I actually found out, I think that is another biblical reference, if I remember researching it right. Oh yeah, I've been
meaning to look it up.
I think either it's like a common type of stone in Israel or it's used in a Bible story. I don't remember the exact details. I just looked it up one day. It's almost like, you know, when you're going out in faith, you're still leaving, like, things in the road so that you know what you're coming back to. I don't know how to explain it. Dang it.
Let's see.
I didn't think it'd have to.
So, it seems that Samuel took a stone and placed it,
Oh, so it is a biblical reference. I was right.
Yeah, he placed it somewhere, in remembrance to say, that this, up to this point, God has helped us.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it used as a reminder to...
Yeah, so, in a way, I always see the stones as, like, here are the reminders. Like, I'm going out in faith, but here are the reminders of why I'm going out in faith.
Right.
And these are the stones that I can, like, look back on. Essentially, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I thought maybe it was that, but I wasn't ever sure because I didn't look it up.
Mm. I think that's all. Oh! One more thing. This is the first time we hear the Safe Place to Hide riff come back. I know you'll never let me down. I know you'll never leave me with those jingle bell things. I still don't know what that is. It sounds... Maybe it's a xylophone? I don't really know.
Hmm.
It sounds very pretty, whatever it is.
Yep. Love the jingle bellies.
You're not gonna let me, you get away with that, are you?
Oh, good content for the podcast. You have to bring back whatever was said.
Oh, dear. Especially if it sounds ridiculous.
Yes.
Anyway. So, trying to remember. I feel like, is there a transition between Just Fine and Stones?
I'm not sure.
There is. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm not actually sure at the moment.
I think so. I don't remember. Just Fine was actually something that I originally was like, did I like this song or not? And then I remember, and then I re-listened to it this morning, and I was like, oh, yep, no, I remember I was singing this song to myself, like, for a week at one point. So.
Oh, yeah, I really like this song.
Mm-hmm. The little, I call it the, kind of reprise of Nice to Meet You, in a way. Yeah. Because it uses the same lyrics. Like you said, the echo is so pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the rawness of the recording. Fine.
Gonna be just fine.
It's about anyway. As close as we can get to the live recording album until it's actually out.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, we will both be very eagerly waiting for it and listening to it right as it comes out.
Yep.
Yeah. There is, one again, you hear the riff again in Safe Place to Hide. And I also really like that this one is kind of the, it's almost like not the start to Rest because that started a mess, but it's almost like, you know, it's gonna be just fine. You're moving on to the next chapter where, you know, I guess father and son will explain that pretty well. Yeah,
it's after a bunch of breakthrough. It's a little bit of, like, rest in between the already good breakthrough, but also just... peacefulness.
Mm-hmm. Peacefulness and then joy.
Yeah.
As we will find out in the next song.
Yep.
So, this song should be interesting.
Yeah.
Considering I said this is comparatively my least favorite of the songs. I say comparatively because it is still a really good song. I just don't like it as much as the others.
Yeah, it's interesting. I really like this song, though I probably wouldn't rank it above too many of the songs, but I really like it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say I don't. I'm just saying in this album specifically, it's probably my least favorite of the actual songs. The irony is, I have the most to say about this one.
Yeah, there's a lot that can be said about this song.
Especially because, like, halfway through, it kind of turns into a... I don't want to say a rock cover of Safe Place to Hide, because that doesn't make sense.
It's, but I mean, Safe Place to Hide already had electric guitar in it. It just...
Yeah, well, this one... But this one was, like, going all out like that. But... And not in a chaotic way.
Yeah, no.
More in a dancey kind of way.
Yeah, but before we get to that part, this song in general is, like, it goes back to the concept of, like you said, Safe Place to Hide, but with a little bit more confidence, actually a lot more confidence. It's wanting to go out into, the world more, the waves with God, and wanting to see all of it with new eyes.
That's
which,
right.
Specifically, in verse 2, I said I'd mention this again. He says, I want to see the jungle with these new eyes. Which goes back to, are we going to make it? And it's looking at that with a new perception of, like I said, confidence and trust that it will be all right.
Perception or... perspective.
Perspective might be a better word.
Because perception is how you... Well, it's how you perceive something. I don't know.
But yeah,
anyway.
And it uses the father-son terminology. Because, you know, that's how God uses it. Yeah, it's biblical. And it's... It really is a good metaphor. It really is. Yeah. And throughout this whole album, I've cried many times listening to this album. This song in particular, too.
Lucky.
I know. I'm sorry. I had to mention it, though.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
But, yeah. You can go with your thoughts.
First of all, as Joshua said, very beautiful imagery. I always prefer the, like, father-son or father-daughter analogy with God, especially during, like, prayer. Not as even, like, because there's still a respect, but there's still a sense that you can talk to God like a, I'm not going to say a person, but you can relate to him. If that makes any sense. He's not an unrelatable being. He made us in his image.
Mm-hmm.
So, thinking of it as a father is kind of a good way to concept it. And is allowed because he said that was fine.
Yeah, Dad said it was fine, so we're going to call him that.
I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm making a joke, but it's like, it is what happened.
Well... I call him father. So.
I know, I say father too. I just said dad to be a little goofy, but
that's fine.
Anyway, that's really continue.
Fine. Anyway, I will say this one, like, I also love the concept of the two dancing. I just think that's really sweet and wholesome.
What's wholesome? Sorry, get
dance.
Talk to me.
Oh, great. I said the concept of, you know, because it's mentioned anyway, like, that, you know, of a father and son dancing. I just think that that's sweet and wholesome.
Yeah, it is.
It's adorable. And for that reason, they kind of designed it as another, like, playful song like Nice to Meet You. And It's just, it's really wholesome, and it's sweet, and it's really fun. And it's definitely a fun dance song. So, I will say, the, you didn't mention this when you said jungle. I don't know what sound effect they use there. This is getting, like, super nitpicky nerdum, but there is a interesting sound that's used right after he says that, that kind of sounds like a, like, chimes, and it sounds so pretty. I don't know what it is. It sounds cool and it sounds pretty.
Yeah.
And then the electric kind of rendition of Safe Place to Hide goes on about halfway through the song. First of all, thematically, great choice. Second of all, it's awesome!
I agree.
I really enjoy it. And I kind of forgot that that was there until I listened to it again this morning, and it was just, oh my goodness, so good.
That's fun to rediscover.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the ending riffs are really pretty. And leads us into another song that is one of my favorites for a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't remember whose turn it is.
I think it's yours.
Okay, so we have another seamless transition, and it's tied. Now, something that I'm surprised I didn't really bring up, really anywhere in this album, is that there's always this kind of theme of, like, oceans and beaches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and a really cool theme, by the way, and it's also why, like, whenever I hear some of these songs, especially Tears of Surrender and Stoned, it just reminds me of a beach.
Yeah.
Are we going to make it kind of sounds like, you know, a jungle or something you'd find there? Traffic is like some beach town that you'd find somewhere else. The point is, I always saw this whole album kind of taking place on a beach-like area.
Mm-hmm.
This song is so, so pretty. Like, I genuinely get chills whenever I hear this one and Tears of Surrender. Hmm. And Safe Place to Hide sometimes. So, I don't cry. I get chills. I wish I cried. But that's not important. Anyway, so, it's so calming. It's really beautiful. I would say this is the most peaceful song in the album.
Hmm.
It's either this or, well, these are like the three, there's like three rivaling it. It's, you know, well, maybe Mess. Yeah, it's Mess, Tear to Surrender, Safe Place to Hide, and Tide that I would say are like the more peaceful, like, songs. I'm sure, I mean, Just Fine and Stoned, I guess, could kind of count, but I don't really know.
I think the reason for that is that through the song, they let the tide sound just be there.
Yes, and it sounds really pretty. And I actually have a reasoning for why that's there.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you caught that.
It wasn't something I thought about till now.
Well, if not, well, it's something I actually had to check to see if I was correct on that. But we'll get to that in a minute. I will say this is the perfect ending to the album. Just the rendition, it's not even more confident, but it's more like, so this one has a kind of, it mixes parts of Safe Place to Hide and Tears of Surrender, saying, you know, I'm lost in your eyes, I'm standing here and crying, I feel so alive. Take my hand, will you, Father? Oh, hold my hand, will you, Father? And it's just so, so beautiful. I really love it.
Mm-hmm.
And this album, in general, like, or not even this album, sorry. This song in general, though, is something, this is where I noticed something interesting. if you loop this album, you're going to see that there is one more seamless kind of transition. And it's between this and Traffic. Like, it's very, very seamless if you loop it. And in my mind, I think that that was intentional. And I think the point of that is that this whole album is a journey we go through over and over and over again as a believer. Because there's always going to be times, my mom likes to describe our lives as like a heartbeat. And in this, we actually have the fact that it's a tide. It's a wave. A wave goes up and down, up and down, up and down. That's just how it is with our relationship with God and how we are in life. And I think that, you know, as you're re-listening to this album, you're always going to find yourself in points that the album is in, because we as people want to have control. And learning to give that control to God, that is really hard. Especially when God is asking us to do something that we definitely don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, might feel too anxious to. So I feel like, as you're listening to this album, like, it's supposed to be a loop. That this is, that this is a cycle that every believer goes through. And in a way, I think that this also kind of makes it, in my mind, I think this is I wouldn't say an important album for Christians to listen to, but I think it would definitely be, it's a highly, highly, highly recommended one for even that reason alone.
Oh, definitely.
So, any other thoughts after I basically said a lot?
Not much on the song, to be honest. I think it's really peaceful, and I'll be honest, this is one of the songs that once I get to the album, I've been okay with skipping before. So it's interesting how much you like it.
Yep.
Which well, then is good. Again,
which is interesting because, like, really, because I always was under the impression, because you've said before that you will listen to this album and not, like, skip anything. You have to start from the beginning and go to the end. Unless that's an over-exaggeration.
Okay, for the most part, that's true. After I've listened to it so many times, sometimes when I get to the end, I just don't always listen through to the last song.
Oh.
I listen to Father and Son, but I don't always listen through Tide.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fair enough.
But, yeah, good thoughts on that.
I mean, I'm the person who keeps, like, I listen to the whole album once, and then I just, at whatever point I feel like I'm at, I just go through whatever song I want to go through.
Oh, yeah, I actually have been able to listen to individual songs before, though I will say it's more jarring, to jump into the songs without the context of the whole album, since I'm used to that. I don't think that's normal for most people, but
that's well, definitely listen to it the first time, like, all the way through.
Listen through it all the way through the first
preferably don't stop. Especially with the transition stuff, because that it's just an extra level of appreciation that I don't think you'll really get if you kind of stop at random places.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely a good album to listen to for anyone.
Yep. Yeah, and even for those who aren't believers, like, I actually think this is kind of, I feel like an album like this could kind of undo what Christians have kind of accidentally done.
Or where, even just, like, the bad perceptions that people get in general.
Yeah, because people get the bad, like, perception about God that either he's entirely loving and is accepting of everything, or he's entirely angry and is legalistic. Neither of which are biblically accurate in any regard.
And I definitely think Christians are partly due to blame for that, but I also don't want to put too much blame on it either, yeah. Because, like...
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but... Yeah, it's definitely... I had never really thought about how a non-Christian would listen to this album. Though, I think you may be right, it might be helpful in terms of,
giving a better perspective. Getting them, and also, like, getting them interested.
Yeah, because it's really well made.
It's really, yeah, it's really well made, and it's also not super preachy, because, again, like, this is just the stigma of Christian media, at least, just in general, Christian music, Christian movie, doesn't matter. That it's very preachy and shoves things down your throat. This is an independent album that didn't have to deal with any kind of, you know, executive meddling. So, yeah.
It's interesting that you say it's not preachy, but at the same time, like, God's in throughout the whole thing.
Well, he's in throughout the whole thing, but it's natural.
I know.
It's natural. Fair. You know, and in a way, I actually have, you know, it, in a way, again, like, I feel like it would get non-believers at least interested, because we're talking about a God that is a safe place to hide that we don't, that non-believers wouldn't really, would, again, may be interested in, like, looking into.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because, you know, when you're listening through the album, it's, you know, all of the struggles are all human struggles. They're not Christian struggles. They're just human. Stress, pain, waiting for things to happen, figuring out where to go, etc. Those are human struggles. Now, obviously, there are some Christian ones in there, like, you know, In Tears of Surrender, learning to surrender everything to God, and Stones, which is learning to, like, follow his will. But there are struggles that are just human struggles in this album that it's very, very honest about.
Yeah. I mean, Christian struggles are just human struggles from a different perspective.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. But, well, but by human struggles, I just mean, like, struggles that you would go through whether you're a believer or not.
Yeah, no, right. But yeah.
And I'm trying to think. Now obviously when you are showing as an unbeliever, like obviously there might be other like reasons of, you know, whatever, because people also have like skepticism now and, you know, whatever else. This is why apology needs to be explored more.
You mean apologetics?
Apologetics, apology, whatever.
Does anyone call it apology?
Probably not. It's called apologetics, so I don't know. It comes from the word apology.
I know.
So I don't really know. Which, my mom actually once said, that's such an ironic name. Maybe we for being Christians. Anyway,
I don't think that's what that's about.
Well, we're not going to get into a tangent about that. Point is,
this is a music podcast.
Yes. Yeah, no. Point is, like, listen to the album. 10 out of 10. It's great. Whether you're a believer or non-believer. Because I think, at the very least, you're going to get some really good music.
Yeah.
And... you know, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Any signing off words?
I don't know. I've only had one episode of this podcast before.
Slash, like, because I think we did talk about what we were going to do next time, which is going to be going on a completely different
oh, yeah. This podcast, it's just going to be stuff. I think it's just going to end up being our musical shenanigans.
Yep.
Which I'm completely fine with. But yeah, the thing we're planning on doing next, I guess, next time on Artist on Record, we have VeggieTales Silly Song Lists.
That should be fun. I have a feeling we're going to have to split it in half, though, because there's, like, 50 silly songs.
Maybe. Depends on how... I mean, you can't get very deep into a silly song.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
I mean, you might, but...
I think way too hard about music, so... And also, this is also VeggieTales is nostalgia. So yeah.
You've also been involved with the full VeggieTales fandom, so that adds another layer of
thinking. Oh yeah, do I have stories?
Yes, yikes. But we will not talk about that now.
Yeah, exactly. Let's try and end this thing before we talk any longer, because I think we've been talking for over an hour and
16 minutes.
Oh wow. This should be fun.
Yep. This is why I'm not editing it very much. bye.
Bye. See you guys next time.
Yep.